Well, hi, everybody. This is Rem, and this is session number 3 of the Business Development and Goal Setting Workshop for 2016 in preparation for the Top Practices Summit, which, of course, is coming in October on the 7th, 8th, and 9th in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada at the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino. Today is all about focus. So now, so far, you know, we've thought, I hope, very deeply, really thoughtfully about our why. That was session number 1. What we truly, truly want. Because we need to know what we really want if we're going to get to that point and actually get the satisfaction of that achievement. In session 2, we've gotten organized with what our priorities are, with what our priorities are based on our why. Okay, and now, today, before we begin to do what I would describe as the really hard work of goal setting, let's just make sure that we are going to create goals that we actually want. That's a key here. We need to have goals that we actually want because we will achieve what we work for. It always happens. Okay, so, and just a note, especially in this last week for me in particular and talking to a number of folks, a lot of us experience, and some of us are experiencing, burnout. Certainly it's happened to me. And, you know, especially the doctors that I know, and I know this is a generalization, but I'm going to make it anyway, in their 40s. You know, the 40s are a little bit of a rough time when it comes to these sorts of things. You know, and the problem is, for most of the doctors that I know, you didn't sign up for. You didn't sign up for MACRA. You didn't sign up for MIPS. You didn't sign up for ICD-10. You didn't sign up for PQRS, meaningful use, what's going on with payers and Medicare and the CMS. All of this. It's wrong. It isn't. It's just wrong, but you didn't sign up for it. But the problem is, if you let that get to you, if you let that be your focus, then that becomes your great disabling distractor. See, I was talking with this about this with Dr. Peter Wishney. You know, and he told me recently, he talked to me about the fact that in his 40s, he started to experience burnout as well. And Peter's the same age as I am now. We're in our, let's just say we're in our mid-50s. And, you know, and Peter's really entrepreneurial. And at the time, because of this burnout with, you know, just, you know, years and years of what I always describe as that tsunami, here it comes again, wave after wave after wave of patients and paperwork. And of course it was actually simpler back then. And he tried other things. He's very entrepreneurial. He was looking at other ways that he may be able to earn an income. And, you know, and he talked to me about other podiatrists actually that he knew who really got into wanting to try to do other businesses, all now defunct, you know. And he said, we've all invested, the doctors, not me in this case, I've invested in another way, but you've all invested a serious amount of time in your training. I mean, a really serious amount. It's what you are. And your best path forward is to go all in on what you know, in spite of the challenges. Because remember, everything you can do, anything else, every business has its challenges. It doesn't look like that from the outside. All you can see are the challenges where you're at. But every other business, every other sector, every other way to earn an income has its challenges. And the great part about owning your own practice is that you really are only limited by your own imagination, by your own belief in what you can do, by your own what you believe, what you conceive, and you achieve. Now, the truth of the matter is, when I talk to my doctors, most of you love patient care. Absolutely love it. Fine. If that's all I could do, I'd be so happy. What you don't like are the regulatory and all the payer issues. I mean, that's where this really is. That's the sticky, nasty part. You know, even the business part can be very enjoyable. Running a well-run business is fun. It's just the madness that's weighing on everybody. And it appears, you know, it's going to continue with MACRA, MIPS, et cetera. All of this is going to happen. But what we've got to do is dig deep and find the passion and find the deep satisfaction in your work, in serving others, to achieve your why, to achieve your goals. Now, one of the best doggone books I've ever read, you can pick it up. It's called The Fred Factor by Mark Sanborn. I've talked about this many times. It's a classic. It can be read in one sitting. It is a very simple yet enormously powerful book that is a story about an individual named Fred, who was a mail carrier, who embodied joy and passion in serving others, and in his case, through being just an exemplary mail carrier. When you think about the mission that you're on, there can be great and deep satisfaction and enormous blessings. I mean, all of us are deeply blessed. We can forget in the middle of the day as we're going through what's happening how deeply blessed we really are. So soon, in the next session, you're going to begin to do the work to focusing on your goals. But the question will be, are you going to be, when you write those goals, are you going to be focusing on what you actually want and should be doing? Because this can be very tricky. If you don't tie your why into your goals, you can end up writing and focusing on goals which actually don't help you get to what your why is. It can be tricky. So let's begin by reviewing your whys from session number one. Question is, did you get it right? Does it still make sense to you? Does it look right? Does it give you joy when you look at it? Any refinements that need to be made to the work that you did in session one? Now, let's look at your top 10 items on your should-do list that you created from session number two. Are these top items congruent with actually achieving your whys? Do they get you there? And go back and review what you decided right now were your top three priorities. Are they still good? Are they still in line? Are they congruent with all of this? If that's the case, let's talk now about extreme focus. So here's where another resource, Gary Keller wrote a book called The One Thing that is awesome. And in The One Thing, he teaches that you must find and you've got to focus on what he calls your one thing. Now, Napoleon Hill, the great Napoleon Hill, said the same thing. So, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Napoleon Hill said, you need to focus on your one definiteness of purpose. That would be your top goal. Now, most people really struggle with this because they don't know what their top goal is. And you know, when we work together, the problem that we have is that a business goal being your one thing in your life, the top goal, that just seems, I often use the word crass. You know, it's just like, really, that's what I am. I'm just that. And for most of us, actually inside, it's not the most important thing to us. You know, most of our really important top goals are spiritual goals that we hold very deep, or family goals that we hold very deep. They are not things that are associated with our work as a rule. But focusing on those as your one thing, actually, it seems like that's not congruent with building your practice. So if you're, you know, if you want to spend, you know, far more time with your family and you do, then your practice starts to fail or struggle and you end up, you know, with more stress because now you've got financial pressures and what has you. So, I mean, it's what have you. It's kind of complicated. I found the answer to this question for me, and I think it's instructive for everyone else, from Andrew Carnegie. He was, of course, like the original mastermind partner with Napoleon Hill. And he had a definition of purpose. His purpose was to build the greatest steel company in the world, U.S. Steel, and he did it. That was his one thing. And here's the thing, and only by doing that was he able to become one of the great philanthropists of all time. And all of the things that he's remembered for, his one thing was U.S. Steel. You know, he established libraries all over the U.S., universities, much, much more. It's sort of endless. So here's my suggestion to you. Your one thing should be to build the best practice in your region. Like, you know, the entire Southwest, the entire Northeast, not just your city, your region. You should be singularly focused on building your practice so that it can support and fund everything else in your life that you hold dear. I often refer to it as the golden goose. The golden goose lays the golden eggs. You have to do everything in your power to protect, to nurture, to grow, to expand your golden goose so that it just continues to lay those eggs, which make all of those deeply held, really, really important things to you possible. Financial independence is freedom. Great cash flow is freedom. It's lack of stress. That's really something to shoot for. And I would highly recommend that you adopt that as your one thing. And be as specific as possible with this. How will you measure this to know you've accomplished it? When will it be completed? Those are very important metrics. We'll talk about that in the next section, but be really specific about your one thing. It looks, well, but I want you to think about it now. Describe your one thing. How will you have, when will your practice be? What will it look like when you've achieved the highest level that you want to achieve with this? And knowing that we never stop growing. You know, Peter had said to me also, you know, billionaires don't stop growing. They don't stop. You're either moving forward, you're moving backward. There's no such thing as sitting still or coasting. It's not possible. So my one thing is to build top practices into the absolute best company I can conceive it to be, and more. That's my one thing. My one thing, top practices. And I'll tell you, that has been really, really helpful to me. Every single time I'm approached to be involved in this or that, and it happens on a moderately regular basis, I've learned that I have to say no to almost every single thing that comes by, because I'm focused on my one thing. If I stop focusing on my one thing and I start putting my limited energy into other things, sort of hedging your bets kind of a situation, then what begins to happen is everything starts to degrade. And I've learned not to do that. It's true that you got to have this one thing, your definiteness of purpose, and there can be only one. But you can use Gary Keller's incredible focusing question from The One Thing in all the other areas of your life, in your relationships, in your finances, in your health, in your business, your personal life. You can use that to have your, and I will say this, those areas of your life. See, that's the interesting thing. You've got your one thing, your golden goose that you're building, so that you can begin then to focus on your real top goal, your one thing in those areas. So is there more than one thing? You know, I hate to say this, but sort of. Yes, there's your one thing, and I hope I've been really clear about that for you. But what about the one thing in your personal life? What about the one thing in your financial life? And I'm talking your personal financial life, not your business. The one thing in your health, and the one thing in your fun, and the things that you really, that give you great joy and enjoyment. Here's the focusing question. What is the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else is easier or unnecessary? Again, what is the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else is easier or unnecessary? Now, what's going to happen is in the next goal worksheets, they're divided into those categories: personal, business, financial, health, and fun. We will use the focusing question on how you can accomplish your goals in these areas. The top practices worksheets are set up so that you can work backwards from your lifetime goal to the current 12-week period that you're in. That's called setting goals to the now. You must be able to draw a straight line from your 12-week goal all the way up to your three-year vision up to your lifetime goal. That's it. Otherwise, you're not going to be working on goals. You're not going to be doing activities that will help you achieve those goals. This is a simple focusing way to do that. We'll work on that more as I said next time, this in session number three, be really clear. Write down what your one thing is. And I think that's your practice. That's your career. You've got to do these goals in all the important areas of life because you discover your purpose. I mean, what is it that you truly and deeply care that gives your life purpose and meaning? Your one thing, building your practice to its best possible outcome, is not your purpose. That's your one thing. That's the machine that makes it happen, because that won't sustain you. Just building up a bigger and bigger podiatry practice, medical practice, is not going to sustain you, because you're still going to have all the problems. You're still going to have all the stuff that comes along with it. I mean, you can work and create a management system that is seamless and mitigates most of the problems. It makes life pretty simple, but it won't ever end that. Having, I mean, that golden goose is a wonderful thing, but it, you know, it's a love-hate thing, because it needs to be managed. It needs to be cared for. It has its stink bombs. That's not what sustains you. What sustains you are the things that are deeply personal, that you care about. That's what gives your life meaning and purpose. This exercise is how to find out what your what is, what I'm doing this all for. And so I want you to rethink that. And if you don't have it, then keep getting focused on your one. I mean, if you don't have this, getting focused on your one thing is going to be hard. So we'll talk about the goal worksheets next time. This time, get really clear about the major primary goal that you have of building your practice to where you want to see that thing come, so that we can build, support, sustain. And I'll say it again, it always comes down to the emotional and financial stability and security of those you love, and to have some fun along the way before you finally kick the bucket. So that's session number three. Take it seriously, very, very seriously, because the rest is going to be harder if you don't. And if you do, the rest will start to be, you'll be amazed. It's actually not so hard. And then all of a sudden, when you execute, it starts getting done. All right, talk to you next time. Thanks, everybody.